All right, folks, Psalms, chapter 1, book of Psalms. Psalms has 150 chapters in it, or 150 chapters. Longest chapter in the Bible is in the book of Psalms. Psalm 119 is 176 verses long. And all 176 verses are about the Word of God, and they're broke down into sections. And at the top of each subscription on Psalm 119, I'm not going to get into Psalm 119 this morning. I'm going to be in Psalm chapter 1 this morning. But there's a superscription. There's a little letter on top of every Psalm 119 over each verse. And that's each letter represents the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And all the verses correspond with that letter. Man, there's no way man would write this book right here. Man cannot. This book was penned by men, by inspiration of God Almighty. And God just amazes. Charles Spurgeon called Psalm 119 the golden alphabet. And he's got volumes of books on that. But I'm in Psalm chapter 1 this morning. Blessed is the man, or happy is the man. And we're going to look at some Psalms. 73 of these Psalms, people think David wrote the whole book of Psalms. David didn't. David wrote 73 of the Psalms. Solomon wrote 2 of the Psalms. The sons of Korah wrote 12 of the Psalms. The sons of Korah rose up and rebelled against Moses, and God caused a new thing to happen. It caused the earth to open up and swallowed up Korah, but the sons of Korah didn't follow their dad, and they lived, and God used them as singers, and they followed God. 12 of the other Psalms are written by Asaph. One psalm is written by a fellow named He-Man. One psalm is written by Moses. And one psalm is written by a fellow named Ethan. How about that, Ricky and Sunshine? Ethan's got him a psalm in here. And Ethan's found in 1 Chronicles 15:19. He's got a psalm about praising the Lord. We don't know much about him. And we don't know much about Asaph or the sons of Korah. But they penned some things here. Psalm is that Hebrew hymn book. And they sang these psalms. When they read these psalms, they would sing them. And you can go to YouTube, and there's some YouTube of Jewish people, Hebrew, singing the Hebrew of the Psalms. Beautiful how they put it together. But Psalm starts out in Psalm chapter 1 about the blessed man, the happy man. And there's a recipe for being happy. I told Glenn and Shirley and Mom, as I was leaving my house today, I come across the most unhappy person that lives up around us. My wife knows who I'm talking about, my daughter. I mean, don't ever smile. I mean, just miserable all the time. I went by and I thought, Lord, here I am teaching on happiness this morning. And that's one of the most unhappiest people that I've come across in life. I've come across many unhappy people, but just don't ever smile. Just a scowl on her face, unfriendly. That's a miserable way to live, ain't it? Just to be unhappy. God, and I know circumstances come in people's lives, and when you go through a death in your family, I mean, you're not going to be happy. That's situational type things that happen. But for the most part, God wants us to be a blessed, happy people. I mean, sicknesses come, sorrows come. These things of this life come upon us. And people think, well, if I can get more money, then I would be happy. And that don't make nobody happy. The people, I mean, we've seen in this world people that are billionaires that are some of the most unhappy people. So money don't make people happy. If I can find another relationship that'll make me happy, that don't make people happy. They did a poll, Randall. 30% of the people that answered the poll in the United States said they felt happy. 30%, 70% said they're not happy. All time chasing happiness. You know anybody chases happiness all the time? I go from here, I get happy. This will make me happy. That'll make me happy. And it might do it for a measure, John. It might give you a little bit of a dopamine burst in your brain. That's what it's called, a chemical. It'll give you a little pickup, you know. But it don't last. And they find themselves still back in the same place. There's people that come to church and they'll try this out. Man, they'll be on fire for a little bit. Then it feels like, well, that just ain't making me happy. I got over the newness of that, so I'm going to something else. Don't make me happy. Duke University did a study one time, and they laid out some things that they found in some people that was some of the most unhappiest people. They found some things about people that was happy, and I just listed four of them here about some happy people that they had in their life that they found was similar or consistent. One was avoiding resentment. They just avoided being resentful at people. Everybody in here can be resentful about something. Everybody, human experience is about people offending you, you offending people. We shouldn't, but we do. And getting hurt, and then you can really get a resentment and really hang on to it. But they found out that people in life generally that are the most happy live longer and are healthier, and they avoid just holding resentments against people. The second thing they found out about happy people, and I believe you can back all these up in the scripture, is not living in the past. You ever see these people just living in the past all the time? They're just so unhappy. And it goes from, you know, we all remember, you know, when you got in out of high school, that one kid that kept coming around when he's 20, 21 years old, wanting to hang around the high school. And then come on, man, move on. And then he's like 25 and he still ain't got it, and 45 and just living in the past all the time, or living in some past mistake. And that was one thing they had. One thing was not wasting time fighting things that you can't change. I mean, there's things in life that happen to you. There's things in life that you go through that you cannot change. And just spending all your energy and time trying to change something that's unchangeable, it just wears you out. And they had another thing, is refuse to wallow in self-pity even when you got a reason to. They did a study with these Jews that were in the Holocaust, and they found out the ones that done the best in their life was the ones that just got out of that and moved on with their lives and didn't wallow back in that. I mean, there's people that lost their whole families. I mean, their children, women, their wives, their mothers, their daddies. They seen them all going to the gas chambers and then into the crematoriums. They didn't even have a body to bury. It wasn't even a memorial. They just ashes that happened to them. But they moved on with their life. And done a lot of them done a lot of good, successful things. But they didn't. Then they had a reason to wallow around in self-pity. And had a reason, but that don't bring no happiness. But the Bible gives us a recipe right here in Psalm chapter 1. A recipe. You would like to make a good cake? You like to eat something good? You want a good recipe, don't you? Well, God gives us a recipe right here of how you and I can be happy. And he starts the book of Psalms out singing. They sung all these songs about being happy. And there's people here maybe this morning, you ain't happy. You can't get happy. Ain't nothing make you happy. You're maybe about like that. I've run into people that say, I can't make him happy. I can't make her happy. You can't make nobody else happy. First of all, you can't control how somebody else, if you start that, you're going to find yourself getting wore out. The Bible says blessed. Blessed means happy. Blessed is the man or woman or young person that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Blessed, you can memorize this. This is the way it reads. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Then he transitions. The ungodly are those that are without God. The ungodly are not so. There are some people that are morally pretty decent people, but they're ungodly people. They don't have God in their life. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. What is God's recipe for somebody to be happy? For mankind to find happiness. If I had a pill bottle sitting right here, and in that pill bottle, you took one of them pills, it guaranteed you'd be happy. Man, Bubby, we could really do some good things selling them things. I mean, it was tried and true. We would do some good, wouldn't it? But God's give us something right here to show us how we can be happy. A person, listen to this, a person will never have peace, will never have happiness, will never have contentment in their life. I don't care how much money they got. I don't care how long they live, how good they may feel, they'll never have that peace and happiness and contentment apart from salvation.
Amen.
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. Will not, God will not allow that to happen in their life. Now, they may act a certain way. They may say certain things. They may have a health. They may make money, whatever it is. But they'll never, ever be content. And they'll never have true happiness and true peace apart from salvation, apart from a relationship with God Almighty. Cannot happen. They can run. They can go from woman to woman, man to man, bottle to bottle, pill to pill, job to job, money to money. They'll never find happiness. They'll never find peace. They'll never find contentment. There's 7.5 billion people on this planet. God has made us all with that default button in us. There's a void in us. God has made us that way. We're different than dogs. We're different than cats. God has made us with a knowledge when a little child's born that there's a God. God's put that in all of us. If you go to the Amazon jungles where they don't have churches, they're out there worshiping something. It's in us to worship something. And a lot of people, the biggest idol in America is man himself. He likes to worship himself. But man cannot find happiness apart from salvation with God. God said in Psalm 32:1, blessed, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Blessed, Ricky, happy is that man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto the whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. That man is a happy man. That man is a content man. That man is a peaceful man, because God will he save. Listen, when it comes down to the end of life, God gives us grace. When he gives us grace, he saves us. But he also gives us grace to live this Christian life. He gives you grace to live it. He gives you grace to deal with things that come into your life. You ever see somebody go through something that's horrible, and you'll say, man, I don't know how in the world that they went through that. You don't know how they went through that because you've never had to go through that, so you don't never had the grace that God give you. I'm reading a book about a guy that whose wife, whose mother, and his 4-year-old child died tragically in an accident. Killed, a drunk driver hit him, and then the drunk driver went to court and was acquitted of all charges and released. And that man wrote a beautiful book about how God's grace helped him get through that. So I'm reading that, I'm listening to this man's testimony of what happened, and Bubby, my mind's thinking, I don't think I could get through that. So I'm thinking as I'm driving, I'm listening to this, I don't think I could go get past that. If somebody done that to my wife and my children and my mother, I just don't think I'd get by that. And God said, you couldn't get by that unless I helped you get by that with the grace. But if you ever went through that, Kevin, I would give you the grace to get through that right there, like I gave the man that the book that you're reading. Don't that make sense to you? You say, well, I don't know if I, when it comes time to die, God gives you the grace as a child of God. God gives you the grace to die when it comes down to time to die. I've seen that in my daddy. I've seen that in my grandmother. I've seen that in people that I went and visited. God gives them the grace just to die. Where's that come from? They're saved by the grace of God. Saved by the grace of God. A person will not find happiness apart from salvation. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It starts with being saved. Amen. Then he says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If you're going to be happy and you're going to be content and you're going to find peace in this world, it's not going to come in things. It's not going to come in money. It's not going to come in, you may, listen, there's nothing wrong with taking care of your health. I wish I took better care of my health. But you know, at some point in time, John, we're going to get old and die. This body's going to break down. You can eat good. I got an aunt and uncle, bless their hearts, are up in their 80s, and they've took good care of themselves. But guess what? They're falling. They got heart issues. Because these things, our bodies break down. We're going to die. And so look what he says. Walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. You got to be saved, and you got to be separated from this world right here. Jesus, John said in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he, this is what Charles Haddon Spurgeon has on his tombstone, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, we say, not love not the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We all have to interact with the world. What is the world? What's that talking about, the world? That's how the world views things. That's how the world sees things. That's how the world does things. That's this worldly system that we live in, this ungodly worldly system. And what the Bible's telling us is, don't get so caught up in the things of the world. And it's easy to get caught up in it, in the things of the world. First of all, he says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to take worldly advice from people in the world. Amen. If you got marital problems, where should you go to? The church house where they preach God's word. I want that. If you want to know how to raise your children, God's got it right here in his word right here. If you got some kind of issue in your life, God's got it right here in this world. Don't take advice from worldly people that view things from the world's point of view. It amazes me how many people take advice from people that don't know God, don't know the things of God or anything else. Take it from God's book. Take it. You know why a man don't want to take it from God's book? Because God confronts us, don't he? God confronts us. What did God do when the first man messed up with Adam? What did he do? Did God go out there and say, now, Adam, I love you, Adam. Come on back, Adam. Oh, no. What did he do, Jason? He went out there and sought Adam, and he confronted Adam about his sin. Did he not? He confronted Adam about his sin. Then he gave Adam hope. He killed the animal, clothed Adam and Eve, brought them back in. But God always confronts, don't he? When something ain't right in our life, how does he confront? He confronts it through the word of God, through a preacher that he's called, standing in the word of God. So if you want to be happy, you got to be separated from the world. And don't take worldly advice. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible said in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. Read that again. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Anybody know anybody? They're right all the time. I'm right. The Bible says the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Because the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man. It says it seems right, but it ain't right. Because it seems right to him. Well, I just see it that way. Well, that's the problem. You're looking at it through bad lens. It's like the man that got up and he looked out the windows of his house. Y'all heard this illustration before? He looked out the windows of his house. He said, honey, I wish my neighbors would surely wash their clothes a little bit better. They had their sheets hanging up on the thing. He said, they're going to have to get them a better washing machine or something. Them dirty sheets hanging up out there. So he goes to bed that night. He gets up next morning. He looks out the window and the clothes. He said, I'm telling you, they got the nicest clothes. There's something wrong with their washing machine, their soap or something. Water's bad or something. So he goes back to bed. He gets up the next day, looks out there, and they had something else hanging up there. He said, man, that's nasty. She said, go outside. He went outside and he said, man, them's the prettiest clothes there was. She said, I know. You're looking through our dirty windows at their clothes. So why would we want to look through the dirty lens of the world and you'll get dirty view of the world, right? Look through it through God's way. Salvation, you got to be saved. Separated from the world. Love not the world. I'm not going to take worldly advice. Stay. And this social media, you got all kinds of advice on there. All kinds of stuff on there. Or somebody you work with, you know, they don't go to church and they don't know God, but they might have a little bit of worldly wisdom. So you're going to take their advice. You end up in trouble. Get advice from God's book. Get advice from the preached and taught word of God. That's where you want to get it from. There's the second thing. He says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I'm not going to take worldly advice, Goebel, and I get messed up in my life if I got wrong associations. If I'm associating with the wrong people. My relationships are with the wrong. Now listen, you got family, you work at places, you got neighbors that are lost. I ain't talking about we go around, we're better than everybody and all this stuff. No, you can be friendly. There's something wrong if you want to run around and get and have associations all the time with people that ain't right with God. You're going to get in trouble in your life. Amen, Brother Kevin. They might be good, decent little people, but you're going to get bad. I'm not going to go do anything with people. I'm not going to get in a golf cart. If but I did play golf and run around with two or three people that drank all day long. I ain't doing that, Goble. I ain't going to be associated with that. Well, it's because you're better. No, I'm not better than nobody. I don't want to be around that all day long. I don't be around somebody that's got a mouth like a sewer outlet all day long. If I don't have to be, on a job, sometimes you get stuck with the idiots. You just got to do what you got to do. But I'm not going to run around with somebody, vacation with somebody, pout around with somebody, and I'm not better than them. I want to be nice to them, but I don't want to get the wrong associations in my life. Why? Because it rub off on you, and you end up getting in the mess in your life. Yep. Amen, Brother Kevin, you're right this morning. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Right. Listen, men and women, take care of your families. Take care of your families. It's okay to have friends and all this stuff, but you take care of your home and your families. And my man gets married, it's okay if he has a friend or whatever, but my obligation is to my wife and my daughters and my family. It ain't to somebody up the road or down the road to make them happy, right? Or to run around with them. And there's people get messed up, don't they, Goble? People get messed up, don't they, John? When they start hanging around wrong associations all the time. They're taking worldly advice from, I'm telling you what the Bible says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. He says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The scornful, that word scornful means teaching. And I'm not going to take wicked admonition or bad doctrine from somebody. Watch this kind of stuff. Listen, you get saved. When you get saved and you get separated in this world, let me tell you what God does. God places you in a local church somewhere. If you're saved now, God's got a place for you to be, and it's called a local church. God puts you in that church. God places you in that church. And he places you in that church because you need the fellowship and you need the encouragement. And you need the preached and taught word of God. Amen? You need that in your life. You need the doctrine, what's been taught from that church. Now, see if I ain't right with this. All week long, you're going to run into people that says, won't you come on and visit my church? Won't you come visit my church? Won't you come? And there ain't nothing wrong with that. You go watch somebody be baptized. You want to go visit around. But isn't that somehow people try to pull you from where God put you to get you to go somewhere else all the time? Ever happened to anybody? When I got saved and started in, that's what I'm going to pull you in all the time. You need to be settled and established in your local church. Know what's going on in your church with who's around you. This is God chose to speak to you through this church, right? Not this church and that church and this church. We got people that come to this church and I've talked to them and I'll see them. You'll see them once a month or they're not members here, not real active or anything like that, but they're just visiting. And they'll come visiting Glenn for about a year or two, and you'll see them once a month, once every other month. Then I'll talk to them, and they'll say, "Well, we visit all kinds of churches." That ain't right. You need to find somewhere. If you really want to get right, God will settle you in a church where you're going to be taught the Word of God, right? But Ricky, here's the thing: people won't look at church like a buffet bar. That's what they look at. Well, why you got down there for them kids? We got preaching and teaching for the kids. Well, why you got down there for us? We got preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Well, why you got kind of women's? I said, we got co-ed groups. We got women and men together in church hearing the Word of God. That's what we got. Amen. Because that's what we need, ain't it? And keep it simple. But you got to watch where you go because you get some kind of bad doctrine, some kind of bad teaching on you. Amen. You get taught wrong. You get taught bad. You won't get stand. You won't get firm. He's what he said. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I'm not going to sit somewhere where they're preaching and teaching bad stuff. They may be good people. There's some good people that's Muslims, but they're wrong. There's some good people that's JWs, Jehovah's Witness, but that's a cult and they're wrong. Mormonism is wrong. It's a cult. It's wrong. Amen. The Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints are wrong. The Seventh-day Adventist is wrong. Wrong. You say, well, I ain't never heard none of them. They're all around us, all around here. All kinds of them. Right? And then some of these churches that's got Baptist on the sign ain't right neither. Right? When you get saved, God puts you somewhere where you need to be. We're talking about being happy. You get taught the right things from the Word of God. So happiness starts with Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man. Starts with being saved on it, salvation. Then we got to get separated from the world, separated from it. We don't want to take worldly advice. We don't want to have wrong associations. And we don't want to have wicked admonition or bad teaching. Look what he says in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, what's he say to do? Meditate day and night. Meditate. We've let the Buddhist crowd, this, y'all seen it? That's so stupid. Don't get caught up in that. That's karma. That's one of my pet peeves. There ain't no such thing as karma. That's bad. It's got into our culture. These kids going around. That's karma. Karma. That's Buddhist. That's Hindu talk. They got 3,000 gods in Hinduism. Where them red dots on their foreheads and all this smell like I don't know what. That's Hinduism. That's false pagan worship. That's wrong. Wrong. That's devil stuff. That's demonic. That's demonism. That's what it is. Well, somebody's got to call this stuff out. God does. And you can't be happy like that. But here's what he says. His delight is in the law of the Lord. How am I going to get happy? You got to stay in this word. Salvation, you got to be separated from the world, and you got to stay in the word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, here's what the Bible says, happy, happy, happy is he. Everybody can't read. Everybody don't have good reading comprehension. Everybody can't sit and study in all the Bible God's made us all. But everybody can listen, can't they? Amen. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Yeah. And God's give us all kinds of stuff in 2024. Man, there's some good stuff you can listen to and fill your mind and fill your heart and keep your mind focused. Because if you'll notice the progression here about how the devil works, it's a progression. He wants to get you thinking something, don't he? Then he wants to get that thinking thing into a feeling. And then when you get in that feeling thing, it comes out in your hands. That's what the devil does to people. So if we can head him off at the pass and stay in this book right here and stay in the things of God, then it would really affect our walk with God, wouldn't it? Every day I listen to about 3 or 4 sermons or teaching. I hear my wife in the mornings, every morning. She's listening to something, teaching, preaching to God's word. And there's all kinds of good things out there. I got about a 35-minute commute. I listen to teaching or some kind of gospel music, whatever I need to do, and just deal with God. I got a 35-minute bag. That's 1 hour and 10 minutes. I just ain't sitting there listening to the radio or something like that. Why you do that, Brother Kevin? And I have to do that 7 days a week. I go around the house with my earpods in. Why? Because I want to head off what the devil wants to sow in my mind. Now, some of you don't do that. You don't. Because you know why you don't? Because your flesh don't want to do that. Your flesh wants to listen to the 80s, 1980s top 10 Liz Foreigner and REO Speedwagon. I know you do. I know you do. Or if you grew up in the 90s, you want to listen to some of that stuff. Or whatever. You want to get caught up in all that. You want to look at somebody's beach photos. So they look so happy down here at the amusement park. You know, you want to do all that foolishness and get things put in your mind. Amen, Brother Kevin. Hey, you know that, Brother Kevin, because I'm made out of the same junk you are. Flesh. Right? Yeah. Made out of the same stuff, Ricky. And we got to hit him off at the pass and stay in this word. When you say this right here, like I said, some people just, they can't sit and read. They can't read good. And then when they do read, they don't understand what they're reading. But that you've got things you can listen to. You've got things you can hit off at the pass. You've got a place to be on Wednesday nights and Sunday school and Sunday morning preaching. You've got a place to be. Right? And you got to stay in the word. You know you can see the Great Wall of China from space. The Great Wall of China, you can see that thing from space. That's how big it is. And it was 1,500. It's 1,500 miles long. 1,500 miles long. 18 feet thick. Now think about this for a minute. 30 feet high. So 1,500 miles long is the Great Wall of China. 18 feet thick. It's this rock and mortar. I mean, it's a big thing. And 30 feet high. It's one of the wonders of the world. And you can see it actually from space. That's how big the thing is. And it was built to keep out invaders. They wanted to protect their land. They wanted to protect their borders. And it was prevent. And listen, it works. Nobody ever busted through the Great Wall of China and got into China in all the thousands of years that it's been there. Nobody's ever got through it. But you say, Brother Kevin, but people has invaded China and through their history, and they have. Well, what happened? Here's what happened. The enemy, Bubby, would go up and just bribe a doorkeeper, and the doorkeeper would open the gate at the Great Wall of China and let the enemy in. So the enemy never had to climb over the wall. The enemy never had to dig under the wall. And the enemy never had to break down the wall. All the enemy had to do was just go up, get to know the doorkeeper real good, pay him. He opened the door. That's what the devil does to us. He sneaks into us in our lives that way. He can't go under the blood. He can't go around the blood. He can't go above the blood or through the blood. But he can go bribe on our flesh and get in the gate that way and destroy your life. By listening to wrong voices. By being around wrong people. By not being in this word. Amen. We got to stay in the word. He said, but in this law, does he? He delights in law. He loves it. He loves it. Stay in the word. He loves it. Job 23:12. Job said, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. When Job was going through the worst time that anybody's ever went through, he said, I need that word. I need that word more. When you're going through a really hard time is when you need more of the word. When you're really feeling depressed or you're really feeling anxious or you're really feeling your life's out of control, that's when you really, really need the word. You need it more than a Wendy's hamburger. You need the word of God. You need to eat it. Get it in your mind and get it in your heart and love it. Amen. Stay in the word of God. We got to have it, folks. In our life. Listen, I need church. I need you all. I need church. I need the preaching. When I preach, I need it for, that's preaching to me. I need that in my life. Because why? Because I got a flesh nature, right? I deal with the things of the world and you do too. That's why I need more of the church. I need more of your prayers. I need more of this. These people that don't really need it, I don't get it, man. Well, I do get it, but I need it. I need it. And I love it. Not only do we need to love it, but we need to lean upon it. Joshua said this, only time the word success is used in your Bible. Joshua says, this book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall means you better not, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein for then. He said, now for then. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Meditate. You know what that word meditate comes from? You know a cow's got three stomachs. A cow's got three stomachs. And a cow chews the cud. When the Bible talks about those things that are clean, that chew the cud and part the hoof, well, you've heard me talk about that before. They chew the cud. That means they get something, then they eat it, and they'll melt it over in their mouth, and a cow will swallow it. Well, when the cow wants to bring it up again and chew on it again because it likes the taste of it or whatever, it'll bring it up from one of its stomachs. It will. It's God's made it that way. And it'll chew on it. That's the picture that God is showing us. But that cow can't bring up the grass around out of its stomach and chew on it again if there ain't been no grass put in that stomach. That's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. How are you going to pull it up if it ain't never been put in you? Amen. How are you going to know how to deal with a conflict in your life if that word ain't never been put in you? How are you going to learn how to deal when the devil starts throwing his fiery darts at you? And he's going to. How are you going to learn to deal with all this conflict and all this anxiety and all this unhappiness and all this turmoil that you're going to have and face in this world? And you're going to face it. I know it don't sell. I know that they sell a lot of them books with Smiley Joe Osteen on it and Sister Joyce and all that trash. Throw it out. I'm telling you what God's word says right here. You got to have it in you so you can pull it up. When you're on the job right there and, man, it's just something that flies sideways. And you're faced with something in your family that you don't. You better have that word there. You can pull it up and chew on that thing. Chew on that. What I need to do. Go back and listen to some sermons. Go back and get something. Some people's readers. There's a lot of real good books out there that's written. Good Christian books that really can help you in life. Sad to say, most of it's not at the Christian bookstore. They don't sell the big books. But there's stuff out there people can read. And it'll stir up their mind and their heart. But we need to lean upon this word to be successful, to be happy. Amen. And then here's something else. He says, meditate on it. And in his law doth he meditate, verse 2, day and night. Not only do we need to stand the word, we need to love it, we need to lean on it, and we need to listen to it. Now therefore, hearken unto me, Proverbs 8:32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, listen to me, O you children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed, he says it again, blessed, happy. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. That's a picture of somebody standing there. You ever seen a kid just standing there waiting to hear from somebody? He's excited waiting to hear from him. That's the picture God's showing us right here of a man that he comes to church ready to hear the word of God. How much better would we have our services be if you really came ready to hearken and to listen? Right? About 60-70% of the time, you come about half aggravated and sit down. Oh, Lord, here he goes on that stuff again. Oh, God. You know, oh, my Lord. I wish he'd get off this jacking up. I wish he'd get off this me being bitter. I like being bitter. I wish he'd get off me being sad. I like being sad. I wish he'd get off me being happy. I like being unhappy. I mean, that's where we come in, ain't a lot of time. I know he's talking to so-and-so. They've been talking to him. I ain't been doing right in my life. No. No. I'm trying to help tell us how we can be happy. Because people are so unhappy and so miserable. I mean, you go in a church, bless God, everybody looks like they've been sucking pickle juice through some PVC pipe somewhere. Shake their hand. God made us to be happy people. Amen. Amen. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say, now, you're going to be happy all the time. Because you're not. Because we're, and you know, listen to this. You say, well, that's just not my personality. You ever heard that said? Maybe you say it. Well, I find in the Bible that God changes personalities. You ever find that out in the Bible? Where's that at? Well, Jacob had a pretty bad personality, didn't he? God changed his identity, made him Israel. Would you say that Peter got his personality changed? I think God can change your personality, don't you? I think God can change your viewpoints on things. Do y'all believe that or not? We believe the Word of God. We just zoned out in our own little world today. Huh? Listen to it. Take it in. Lean it. Love upon it. The Word of God, it helps you. You believe it saved your soul, take you to heaven? Amen. Amen. Love the Word of God. Stay. How are you going to be happy? Where's happiness come from, Brother Kevin? It starts from being saved by God's marvelous grace. Then it starts by being separated from the Word. And God begins to separate you, sanctify, pull you away, begins to set you apart when he saves you, separate you from the world, separate you from wrong association, separate you from wrong advice, separate you from wicked admonition or bad teaching. Then stay in the Word of God. Stay in it. Love it. Lean on it. Listen to it. Here's another thing he says in verse 3. And he shall be like a tree of all things. He shall be like a tree planted. That's a planted tree by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth, Brother Brett, it shall prosper. What's that a picture of? A tree planted by waters. The water's the Word of God. Those roots go down. And in that day, those trees that were planted by those waters, the roots would go down and wrap around each other and wrap around rocks. And they would just stay there. They were stable. Stable in my ways. Have you ever seen such instability with people in the days that we're living in? Up and down, all over the place. I mean, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, one day they're this way and another day they're next day. Folks, we got to get past that stuff. We got to get stable in this thing. Stable in my ways. You ever notice something about an unhappy person, how unstable they are? They're unstable. They're all over the place. They're up and down. There's no firmness. There's no, why? Because this world don't give you nothing stable to hang on to. Money ain't stable. Your health ain't stable. People ain't stable. You secure it onto the people. It ain't stable. What is stable? The Lord is stable. His word never changes. Heaven and earth will pass away. What did he say? But my word shall not pass away. Stable in my ways. The Bible says in Psalm 128, blessed, here it is, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy, he says, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. That's a picture of somebody that's stable in their ways. When Jacob was blessing his children, here comes Reuben down there, the oldest son. And no doubt old Reuben thought, man, I'm going to get the jackpot right here. But you know what old Jacob said? Jacob said, Reuben, you're unstable as water. You're not going to get anything. You're unstable as water. Hey, what's water do? Water always goes to the least point of least resistance, don't it? Water will take the form of whatever it's poured into. You pour it in a vase, it'll take the form of that vase. You pour it in a square cup, it'll take the form of a square. It takes the form of wherever it's put at. Water takes the shape of it. Water always flows down. He said, Reuben, I can't depend on you because you're unstable. I don't know if you just pull out and quit, Reuben. I don't know if you stay with this thing, Reuben. I don't know if you push on, press on when it gets hard, Reuben. You're unstable as water. You know, these folks in the church, it's unstable. Can't depend on them. God looks down, so they're saved, but God says, I can't trust them. I'd bless them more, but I can't trust them. I can't use him more. I can't trust him. He's unstable. She's unstable. Man, listen, happy people, man, they get stable. The blessed people get stable. Stable in what? Stable in the ways of the Lord. Stability. Strength and stability. It's a position. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's productive. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. There's a season that we ought to bring forth fruit in our lives as Christians. Right? Somebody that's saved, they should be fruit that comes out of their life if they're saved by God's grace. One of the chief fruit that comes out of it is continuing in the things of God. If there's no continuing there, they likely ain't saved. John 15:16, Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. That means set you apart that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. Jesus said, I've chosen you that you should bring forth fruit. Well, what kind of fruit, Brother Kevin? The fruit of the Spirit is love, capital S Spirit. It ain't fruits, it's fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There should be some fruit that comes through our life for a Christian. He says he should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. There's seasons in the Christian life. There's summertime seasons. There's springtime seasons where things are fresh and anew. There's wintertime seasons where things are cold and dark. There's fall seasons where things begin to change in our life. There's change that comes through. That's the Christian life that we live in. But that tree stays stable, don't it? It stays planted. I'm talking about the recipe for happiness. How are we going to be happy? Starts being saved. Somebody that ain't saved, they ain't going to be happy. True salvation. That's what we've been preaching here and teaching here in this church. True salvation. Not some emotional decision that never produced any kind of fruit in their life, no kind of stability, no kind of change in life. That's somebody that's not saved. That's somebody that ain't saved. They didn't save and lose and get saved and lose it. It don't happen that way. I'm talking about true salvation. God works repentance and faith in a person's heart. Saving faith produces a change in their life. Amen. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. They're productive in their service, their position. They're prosperous, Brother Randall. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. David said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, and there's going to be times you fall. Though he fall, he shall not utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He said, I've been young, and I've been old. Yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God takes care of his people. And we could take great joy in that. Real quickly, the last part of the ungodly are not sober like chaff, which the wind driveth away. If we're going to be happy, we've got to stay in God's will, don't we? We've got to stay and strive to stay in his will, in the will of God, not be like the chaff that are driven away. What is chaff? What is chaff? I looked up what chaff is. Chaff is something that's worthless. Can't do nothing with chaff. It's weak. It's wobbly. It's weightless. And it's wind driven. Chaff goes wherever the wind blows. You know anybody like that? They ain't going to be happy. Wherever which way the wind's blowing, we'll run over here. That's where the wind blows. We'll go over here. And chaff is warmed by destructive fire. Is your life like chaff? Just blow here and there? Not getting, are you wasting away your life without any type of purpose? No purpose. Wobbly, unstable, double-minded. That's what a wobbly, somebody's wobbly, they're double-minded. And the Bible says a double-minded man is what, Jason? Unstable in how many of his ways? All. All his ways. He won't be just be stable here and unstable. He's everything in his life is unstable. His relationships are unstable, or her jobs are unstable, her moods are unstable, her finances his finances are unstable, his or her life is unstable. They're up, down, all over the place all the time. Double-mindedness. That's not a person that really can ever get happiness. Can they? Maybe that's you right now. I don't know. Are you wind-driven by the hurricane of the world? Some people, son, listen. You could take right now just one of them 1996 technology type, grainy picture, gobble, blurry picture of some kind of alien thing and throw it on the news, and people would believe that junk and run after that junk. But you stand here and tell them about something that's lasted for thousands of years, that's never been disproven, and they won't hear a word of it. And they'll be blown around. And let me tell you something, in 2024, with this technology and this AI, you better get stable up. You better get stable. You better know what you believe. No, don't say, well, I'm going to believe what that preacher believes. No, you better go deeper than that. It better be what this book says. Right? Because you're going to be blown away. And be critical and have a critical eye and judge things. Spiritual man judgeth all things. He takes note of things. Somebody jumps up, says he's a preacher. Wonderful. We're going to discern it. We're going to watch him for a while. Study him, right? Somebody comes in church, we watch him for a while. We study him. The spiritual man discerneth all things. Are you going to be warmed by the fires of hell someday? I'm going to be happy, don't you? I'm going to be happy. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, saved by the grace of God, separated from the world, stay in the word of God, strive to stay in his will, get stable in these ways. That's where happiness comes from, ain't it? It comes from God. Blessed is the man. So we start in this thing in Psalms, and I like it, don't you? Amen. Does Sunday school lesson help you? To help you breathe?
It does.
Oh, praise the Lord. Noble, does it help you? Amen. I like Sunday school, don't you? How many of you grew up, don't raise your hand, how many grew up in Sunday school just, so boring? You know, that's why it's hard to get people out. They sit up there and read a booklet to you, and it's so dry and dead and academic. And who wants that? I want something that applies to my life, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. I want something that ministers to me, John, personally to me. That's what I need in my life. I don't need no academics. I need some of that. I already had some of that. I pushed through that, praise God. Now that mess.
Yes.
I want something that helped my life, don't you?
Yeah.
I love it. Hallelujah, let's stand. Ricky Mullins, you're doing so good, son. God bless you. I'm glad I can call on you. You've been for almost 11 years, you've been a Sunday school closer outer, brother. When you ain't here, Jason fills in.